The House will come to order. Please stand if you're able. Our flag salute this morning will be led by Representative Greg Smith.
Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We're privileged to have this morning for our opening ceremonies Lawson Inada, who is the Oregon State Poet Laureate, who, not surprisingly, is going to share with us a poem. Welcome, Mr. Inada. And I should note, he is a guest of Representative Gilman.
Thank you very much, Speaker Hunt. I was commissioned recently to provide a poem for the commemorative edition of Oregon 150, and so the poem is called Saying the Name. When we say the name, Oregon, what might it mean to us? Of what origin is the name? Who said it before we were born? And how did the name Oregon happen to designate this state? Whatever the case, Oregon it is, a full 150 years in the making. And as we celebrate the state, consider how we say the name. When in an agitated state, Oregon could be a complaint. When in an exuberant state, Oregon could praise a forest. When in a reflective state, Oregon could sigh at a tide. When our status at the time is different, Oregon can mean many things. Oregon in a hospital corridor. Oregon in a windy wheat field. Oregon in a misty schoolyard. Oregon in a swirling snow. Oregon in a blooming orchard. Oregon in a cordial store. Oregon in a snarl of traffic. Oregon in a glory of stars. Oregon in a distant nation. Oregon as a destination. When we say the name Oregon, Oregon means everything to us.
Thank you very much, Mr. Inada, for blessing us with your presence once again. Good to have you back. Courtesies. Representative Gilman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good morning. Lawson Inada is an emeritus professor of writing at Southern Oregon University, as well as the author of five books, Legends from the Camp, Drawing the Line in This Great Land of Freedom, Just in Two Nations, and Before the War. Professor Inada has had work features in the Best American Poetry, and 1972 and 1985, he won the Poetry Fellowship from the National Endowment for the Arts. He is a contributing editor to the Northwest Review and was narrated of the PBS special Children of the Camps and Conscious and the Constitution. In 2004, he was one of 185 artists, scientists, and scholars chosen from 3,200 to receive the Guggenheim Fellowship. He currently serves as the Steinbeck Chair of the National Steinbeck Center. Inada has received recognition from the President of the United States, appearing in the White House, a salute to poetry and American poets. His poetry volume, Legends from the Camp, received the American Book Award and was featured on CBS Sunday Morning. He is a winner of the Governor's Arts Award, 1997, the Oregon Book Award for Drawing the Line, 1997, and the Pushcart Prize for Poetry in 1996. In 1997, he was awarded the Creative Arts Grant from the Civil Liberties Public Education Fund, and his work has been subject to a documentary titled What It Means to Be Free, a video and poetry in Japanese-American internment, and an award-winning film of Legends from the Camp in collaboration with his son, Miles Inada. Lawson will be speaking at noon today, from noon to 1 o'clock, in room 103 of the Oregon State Library. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Gilman. For our moment in Oregon Sesquicentennial Centennial History, Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good morning, colleagues. Today's History Minute is adapted from an entry in the Oregon Encyclopedia, written by Roger Hull, Professor of Art History at Willamette University. Hallie Brown Ford, was a generous donor who gave millions to support the arts at institutions in Oregon, Oklahoma, and established scholarships through a foundation now known as the Ford Family Foundation that she and her husband created in 1957. Hallie Ford showed aptitude for art as a child and remained interested in it all her life, believing it to be a humanizing force that should be available to all. She was a central figure in the arts community in Roseburg and, with painter Harry Widman, organized the Southern Oregon Arts Festival to coincide with the Oregon Centennial in 1959. After divorcing in the early 1970s, she moved to Salem, where she took art classes with the painter Carl Hall, a professor at Willamette University. This led to a long association with Willamette that resulted in donations over three decades, totaling $14 million. She was a lead donor in the university's Hallie Ford Museum of Art, a six-gallery, 27,000-square-foot facility that opened in 1998. Ford was a modest person who lived frugally and shunned public attention. She was the recipient of the Oregon Governor's Art Award and an honorary degree from Willamette University in 1996. Her gift of $15 million to the Pacific Northwest College of Art in 2007, a few months before her death at age 102, was the largest donation to a cultural group in Oregon's history. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Freeman. Further courtesies, Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and colleagues. On the south bar over here to my left, I'd like to take a moment to recognize Chinese delegates at our Capitol today. They've been visiting down in the Albany area at Lynn Benton Community College. But the first that I'd like to recognize is President Chen from Beijing Polytechnic College. Then the second would be President Yan. He's from Suzhou Institute of Architectural Technology. President Wu is from you'll have to work with me here on some of my translation. Been practicing all morning. Guangzhou Civil Aviation College. President Zhang is from Lanzhou Petrochemical College of Vocational Technology. And President Fong is from Suzhou Polytechnic. And Mr. Zhang is the coordinator and translator for the group. Would you please say ni hao, which is welcome to them.
Yeah, welcome to Oregon. Hope you enjoy your visit. Further courtesies, Representative Cowan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, today is State Ambulance Day. That brings back some fond memories from my past, but I won't bore you with that right now. What I would like to do is recognize David Miller, who I believe is up here. There we go. David is a paramedic from Pacific West Ambulance serving Lincoln County, and he's here today as part of State Ambulance Day. For his outstanding work in emergency medical services, David has been named a Star of Life. He will go to Washington, D.C. in May to be recognized with other outstanding paramedics from around the country. Welcome, David, and the others who are representing the ambulance's work today. Thank you.
Welcome to your House of Representatives. Good to have you here. For the courtesies, Representative Thatcher.
Thank you. I'd like to welcome three honorary pages from McNary High School visiting today, and I'm going to ask you to stand up. Carl Knopp. Oh, no. Is he not here? Okay. How about Brooke Brown? Do I have a group that's just not shown up yet? Okay. Well, you know what? Maybe I'll just have to come back to that later. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We will look for you back in the queue, Representative. Further courtesies, Representative Roblin. Representative Roblin.
We went right to my bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I apologize for having been having a conversation. It's my honor to welcome a group from Highland Elementary School in Reedsport, Oregon. And if they're up there, they can stand up, along with their leader of the group, who's Paula Plotz. There are 44 of these people that came from Reedsport, so I want to welcome you to the House.
Welcome to your state capitol. Great to have you here. For the courtesies, Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, good morning. It is my pleasure this morning to introduce members of Umpqua Community College's Project Leadership Program. Please stand there in the upper balcony here. Project Leadership is designed after programs sponsored by local Chamber of Commerce. The class spends one day a month examining issues of community college administration and leadership. Today's topic, community colleges and state government. The class will hear from officials of the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development and folks from the Oregon Community College Association. They are viewing both House and Senate sessions today, and they will meet with legislators, lobbyists, and journalists to learn more about what we do here in Salem and how it affects Umpqua Community College. Representatives Krieger and Freeman both have constituents representing this leadership group. And colleagues, we are pleased to have members of the leadership class here with us today. Thank you for being here.
Welcome to the State Capitol and your House. Representative Bruin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and colleagues, I am proud to introduce one of our honorary pages today. Hunter, stand up. This gentleman's name is Hunter Bossen. He is a constituent of mine. He goes to Rosemont Ridge Middle School, which is just a few blocks from my house. Hunter loves soccer and history. We share a passion with that. He especially likes European history. He likes math, and he's engaged in the very competitive Science Bowl. When he gets out of college someday, he either wants to be a business person or a history professor. Please welcome Hunter. Thank you.
Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, have an honored guest today. If he would stand, his name is Vincent Kirshner, and I think he gets honors for coming the furthest today. He is an exchange student, actually, from Stuttgart, Germany. He is at West Salem High School. He is 16 years old. He's interested in kendo, I think it's called. It's Japanese fencing. He's on student council. His goal is to become a diplomat. I have spoken to this young man, and his English is incredibly flawless. He goes to an international school. If his language skills are any indication, the diplomacy field would be, he'd be well suited. And welcome him today.
And I also have three pages from my district here today. I've asked them to each stand as they're introduced. They're all eighth graders from Kraxberger Middle School in Gladstone. Jordan Dahl. Jordan, please stand. Jordan is active in BAND and is a web leader, which is their mentoring program. For the middle school, he aspires to be a folk musician. Welcome, Jordan. Second, Allie Evans. Welcome, Allison. She's very active in dance and softball and aspires to be a pediatrician. Welcome. And finally, Joey Jackson. Joey aspires to be a lawyer, then a politician. So welcome to all three of you, and thanks to all of our pages for your service to the House today. We appreciate you being here. Further courtesies, Representative Cameron. Any further courtesies? Clerk will now open the voting system for the purpose of verifying the presence of a quorum. Representative Clem. Representative Clem is present. Representative Greenlick is present. Representative Brune. Is Representative Brune still present? Off the floor, excuse Representative Tomei. All other members are present. Messages from the governor. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you the Senate has passed Senate Bill 536, adopted SCR 8, SCR 34. Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you to sign Senate Bill 163 and 462.
First reading, memorials and resolutions.
SCR 8, in memoriam of Mark Ted Winters, 1924 to 2008. SJR 34, commemorating legislative fiscal office for 50 years of service.
Measures read for the first time or is passed to the Speaker's desk for referral. Standing committee reports. The committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports. Special orders of business. Colleagues, the chair requests unanimous consent that consideration of HCR 8 be made a special order of business immediately following the order of business of special committee reports on Monday, April 20th, 2009's calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Propositions and motions. First reading of House bills. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 5045 relating to financial administration of the real estate agency and declaring emergency. House Bill 2067 relating to sunset of tax credits. House Bill 2221 relating to feral swine. House Bill 3077 relating to elective share of surviving spouses and prescribing an effective date.
Bills read for the second time or passed to the third reading calendar. Consent calendar. Third reading of House bills. And colleagues, if we could have a little more quiet in the chamber as we take on these bills. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2095, relating to elections and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2095A. Representative Roblin.
Busy morning. This is a technical fix cleanup bill from the Secretary of State's office, and it has a lot of technical fixes. We vetted this, we heard it a number of different times in our committee, and when we finally got the actual vote, it came out unanimous. So I'm not going to go through each and every one of those technical fixes, but I will tell you a couple of the high points and a couple of things that resulted in amendments. It really does a better job of clarifying when the Secretary of State has to go and order recounts. It also gives them a little extra time. Sometimes the counties that have the most, in a county with the precincts with the most number of voters, you don't know that until a couple days after the election by the time all the counting's done. This gives them a little bit more leeway with that one. It also, in the discussions of this bill, we realized that the way the bill was written, it had institutionalized the disproportionate number of statewide officials that were elected on any election. And this last election, we elected our State Bureau of Labor and Industries position, and it was certified as a four-year election. It was really in the middle of the previous Boley director's term, and so it meant that we had four statewides elected and two the next election. This puts that back in the 2012 election. We will be up for a two-year election to Boley, so it gets it back on track again. And so what we have happen is this one is certified as four. It goes to 2012. The 2012 election will be a two-year election, which will put it back on schedule. So it will then, from that point on, there'll be three and three again. So, pardon, I'm sorry. Yeah, it goes four now, and then a two-year election And then a two-year election, and we're back on schedule again. So that's kind of what the bill does. It came out 8-0 out of your Rules Committee. I urge and I vote.
Further discussion, Representative Greenlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the last session, we passed House In the last session, we passed House Bill 3270 to deal with certifying the counts of our elections. I think that was an important bill for us because all Oregonians really want to make sure that their vote is counted every time. This bill clarifies some issues in that and really improves the process. And I just wanted to comment and thank the Rules Chair for his good work on this process and join him in urging an aye vote.
Further discussion, Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question for the carrier, please.
Question of the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
I do.
He does.
Thank you. Was there a reason the special election in 2008 for this position that we're talking about wasn't certified as a two-year election, as a special election?
Yes. The previous Secretary of State requested an opinion and discussion with the Attorney General over the elections, and as they read the way the statute reads, when it basically says that the election of the Office of Bureau of Labor and Industry is for a four-year term. There was no provision that was made to make it different from that. So his ruling was that it was a regular election for, it is an election. There was no there was no provision for it to be a special two-year election. So therefore, it was a four-year. The Secretary of State took that advice, certified that, and it became a four-year. We, in the committee, talked about that for a while and felt that the best way to resolve this was to get it back on track as soon as we could.
Representative Cameron. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Roblin, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Garrett, how do you vote? Garrett votes aye. House Bill 2095A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2307, relating to collection agencies.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2307. Representative Barton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 2307, colleagues, I have the opportunity again to carry two bills in a row for the second day in a row. I apologize for that. Both passed yesterday without opposition. I'm optimistic the two bills today will do the same. This bill will eliminate a useless and costly regulation to debt buyers, who are the people who purchase debt from creditors and then collect the debts themselves. DCBS currently regulates collection agencies, who are the businesses that collect debts on behalf of their clients, who are creditors. There is no purpose behind regulating debt buyers because there is no reason to protect the creditors. The debt buyers themselves own it. It is a good bill. I urge an aye vote. It will eliminate a needless regulation.
Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Barton, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Kennemer, how do you vote? Kennemer votes aye. Representative Gilliam, how do you vote?
Aye.
Gilliam votes aye. House Bill 2307, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 3194, relating to driving while under the influence of intoxicants.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 3194. Representative Barton again.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 3194 is the companion bill to House Bill 3295, which we passed unanimously yesterday. It is necessary for Clackamas County's unique approach to disposing of juvenile DUI events. It is a very good bill. I urge its aye vote.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Barton, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Jefferson Smith, how do you vote? Smith votes aye. Representative Holvey, how do you vote? Holvey votes aye. Representative Thatcher, how do you vote? Thatcher votes aye. House Bill 3194, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Chair requests unanimous consent to return to the order of courtesies. Is there objection? Hearing none. I want to take the opportunity to introduce a class which has just joined us in the rear aisle. They're actually from Representative Barnhart's district. But my nephew is a member of the class. They are the fourth grade group of fourth graders from Fox Hollow French Immersion School in Eugene. Their teachers are Mrs. Mitchell and Mrs. Diedrich. And the front row there includes my very precocious, good-looking nephew, Evan Hopper Moore. Welcome to the Capitol. Further courtesies, Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would simply note that both of my children attended that school. I'm very familiar with it, and I would like to extend my own welcome.
Any further courtesies while we're here? Final reading, memorials and resolutions. Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 536 relating to Federal Real ID Act of 2005.
Bill read for the first time is passed at the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 244 relating to Oregon State Bar.
Bill read for the second time is passed to the third reading calendar. Third reading of Senate bills. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 63 relating to Child Development Specialist Program and declaring an emergency.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 63. Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Colleagues. It gives me great pleasure to carry a Senate bill today. This bill would repeal an obsolete provision in state law that would allow school districts to apply to the Department of Education to reimburse them for a child development specialist. There have been no funds allocated for this purpose for at least 17 years, and no staff currently at the Oregon Department of Education can remember a time that a school district has ever asked for these funds in their memory. What's important to note is this does not eliminate any child development specialist positions. It just is consistent with the idea that now school districts do their budgets through their state school funds allocation. Again, it just repeals an obsolete provision in state law. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Gelser, do you wish to close? She does not. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Gilliam, how do you vote? Gilliam votes aye. Representative Call, how do you vote? Representative Call votes aye. Senate Bill 63, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 75, relating to disability of the governor.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 75A. Representative Girard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I did not pick the title, Disability of the Governor, but this Senate Bill 75A, during a recent emergency preparedness exercise, the governor reported a contrived disability that caused officials to examine current gubernatorial succession and disability statutes. It was determined that under current statute, significant difficulties and logistical problems could arise and prevent a gubernatorial vacancy from being filled. Senate Bill 75A is a proposal to remedy the problems that were identified. What this bill does, it establishes procedure for disability evaluation panel to find that the governor is unable to discharge the duties of the office or is able to resume duties of the office. It establishes a 5-member disability evaluation panel, establishes qualifications of and procedures for designating panel members and designating those members. It also requires disability evaluation panel to be convoked upon written request of at least 2 specified state officials. And it establishes a procedure for the governor to voluntarily transfer duties of office to an acting governor when the governor expects to be temporarily unable to discharge duties of the office. And it repeals current statutes on disabilities of the governor. That's Senate Bill 75A.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Girard, do you wish to close?
Just one quick comment. I hope the speaker recognizes there were more than a dozen opportunities here to make some wisecracks, and I did not do that.
You're keeping your powder dry for the future, Representative. Okay, so noted. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Cannon, how do you vote? Cannon votes aye. Representative Roblin, how do you vote? Where are you, Representative Roblin? Oh, votes aye. Representative Galizio, how do you vote? Galizio votes aye. Senate Bill 75A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 5539, related to financial administration of the public employees' retirement system, and declaring an emergency.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 5539. Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 5539 is the budget bill for the Public Employees Retirement System, which is commonly known as PERS. PERS administers the retirement plans that cover most of Oregon's public employees. Participating employers include the state, counties, cities, schools, and special districts. The agency also administers self-pay health care plans for qualified retirees. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends a budget of $6.6 billion, other funds, and 362 positions. The budget is a 2.9% increase from the current biennium. The number of positions is 39 less than the number authorized in the current biennium, showing that the agency is scaling back after peaking at 420 positions during the 03-05 biennium. Since the recommendation is consistent with the original budget bill, no bill amendments are needed. The budget includes 7 policy packages and 66 positions to handle ongoing workload, work process improvements, and system conversion tasks. In an effort to be conservative while trying to meet agency needs, the committee approved only 31 of these positions as permanent. The committee recognizes that the agency requires both system and human resources to manage 3 retirement plans for an ever-increasing number of retirees. The PERS board, which consists mostly of private sector representatives, carefully monitors the agency's budget request and ensures that funds are spent prudently. The agency is demonstrating progress under its 8 key performance measures. These were reviewed and approved by the committee without any changes. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of Senate Bill 5539.
And before we go to further discussion, colleagues, I would note that just because you are a PERS beneficiary or a likely PERS beneficiary, which includes 99% of the people in this chamber, you do not need to declare conflicts of interest. That is a sufficiently large class. That is not covered under our conflict requirements. If you or a member of your family work for the PERS board, however, since this is the PERS budget, that would be an appropriate conflict of interest to note. Discussion. Representative Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, Senate Bill 5539 is focusing on about an $83.6 or $87 million administration budget for administering our retirement plan. There were major changes that took place during the 2003 PERS reform period. And as a result, there were a number of employees that were added to try and get through a transition when we went from two tiers, Tier 1 and Tier 2, to a three-tier plan with Tier 3 affectionately referred to as OPSFERP, which should I just be called Tier 3. Anyway, coming into this period for reviewing the 2009-11 budget, there were 99 limited positions that had been kind of ongoing. Those were cut, and a recommendation in the governor's recommended budget was that there be 66 made into permanent positions. Part of this transition is a whole new a computer system, which currently we've invested over $25 million in, and we're going to be giving another over $6 million to continue this conversion. The idea with the conversion was that we wouldn't have to have so many employees doing hand calculations with all of the changes that are made and continuing to be made in the PERS plan, and that we could utilize computers to do those calculations. We have not completed that transition yet, and we're still paying, as I said, another $6+ million toward that transition, and yet the recommendation in this budget is that 31 of these positions that have been limited duration now will be made permanent. And I would suggest that it is not appropriate for us to be making permanent positions out of limited duration positions before we even have the money and the computer system fully implemented that's supposed to bring about the efficiency that has been promised and that we're investing over $30 million to get. And so I'll be a no vote on this, and I would ask that you do the same. And the reason is that we should not be making permanent positions out of limited duration positions in a time when we don't even know what is going to be the need for personnel, and we won't until after we get the full transition from the old computer system to the new computer system. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Nathanson, do you wish to close?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. This budget is representing or illustrating some of the things that we've been asking for, and I'm very pleased to point out that what PERS is demonstrating is they have achieved great administrative efficiencies. They have adapted to managing more people, a huge increase in workload. They are managing now three different systems, if you will, instead of just a single system. And yet what we're seeing in this budget is that it represents reduced staffing, and it also illustrates the best in what we assume for outcomes. For example, Forbes magazine, in February 6, 2009 issue, indicates that PERS of Oregon remains one of the best-funded public retirement systems in the nation. What this means is this is showing stability, and it's demonstrating a level of confidence for investors so that Oregon's bond rating still remains good compared to the other states. I'd also like to comment that of the governor's recommended budget, the request for all permanent positions, Not all of those have been approved as permanent. We are approving a combination of permanent and limited duration positions, and we are doing this acknowledging that even as far back as 2003 at the emergency board, when we were starting to go over what was going to be needed to make the transition with PERS, it says, quote, the new plan will require new permanent staff as well as limited duration startup staff, and that is what this budget is demonstrating. We are demonstrating that PERS is able to scale back. We are giving them a little bit of new permanent staff, and we are yet still keeping many as limited duration, acknowledging the conversion continues. So with that, I do urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Clem, how do you vote? Clem votes aye. Representative Roblin, how do you vote? Roblin votes aye. Senate Bill 5539, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 356, relating to civil forfeiture of property money and declaring an emergency.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 356A. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and colleagues. Senate Bill 356 deals with forfeiture. This is actually a continuation from the 05 session, if you recall. And back then, House Bill 3457, which was passed unanimously out of the House as well as the Senate, dealt with civil and criminal asset forfeiture. At that time, that bill was placed as a result to determine what the Supreme Court in our state was going to do with Measure 3 that was passed abolishing civil asset forfeiture back in 2000. It was ruled by the Supreme Court at that time on a 4-3 decision that Measure 3 was constitutional. So what we did, if you recall, during the 07 session was to move forward SJR 18, which eventually became Measure 53 and was passed last year in May by the voters here in this state, that changed where we were going with criminal and civil asset forfeiture. So what Senate Bill 357 does is basically it makes the statutory law consistent with that of the constitutional view now that we passed as a result of Measure 53, and it places all the civil forfeiture laws in one place. Now, I'll just give you a quick update, too, on if you remember, where the dollars go as a proceeds from the forfeitures. 20% was to go to drug courts, if you recall, from 05. 10% was to go to relief nurseries. A small percentage would go to your Civil Asset Forfeiture Oversight Council, and then a small amount would also go to the Department of Environment Quality for cleanup. The remainder of that went to the law enforcement agencies that were involved in the seizure. So I urge your aye vote for this. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Olson, do you wish to close?
Nope.
He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Greenlick, how do you vote? Greenlick votes aye. Representative Clem, how do you vote? Clem votes aye. Senate Bill 356A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Other business of the House? Other business of the Senate? Orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Republican colleagues, we will caucus immediately following adjournment. Immediately. Thank you.
Any further announcements? Representative Galizio.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just trying to find out exactly. Colleagues, the Higher Education Caucus will be meeting outside the Senate side where the patio is. You know, the House, we don't have chairs to enjoy the sun, but the Senate side does. So the Higher Education Caucus will meet out there at noon.
Any further announcements? Remonstrances. Representative Thatcher.
We made it over here just in time. Today, colleagues, marks the second anniversary of the massacre at Virginia Tech University. 32 students and faculty members were gunned down by a man who also chose to take his own life. On the Virginia Tech campus, they are holding a day of remembrance to commemorate this tragedy. Meanwhile, the debate over firearms and public safety on campus continues throughout the country and here in Oregon. Last Friday, Henry Ford Community College in Dearborn, Michigan, went into lockdown after a murder-suicide there. And just yesterday at our own Portland Community College, they were locked down after authorities received a threat of a suicidal man causing harm to himself or others. Sadly, this week, the House Judiciary Committee had an opportunity to improve safety at Oregon's universities by giving campus security officers the authority, the minimal authority, to issue citations in addition to arrest authority they already exercise. But unfortunately, politics got in the way, and that common sense piece of legislation is dead. The Oregon university system continues to ignore state law, which allows concealed handgun license holders to carry their weapons on campus. 2 months ago, I asked OUS to give me something in writing justifying their position, and so far there has been no response. No less than a dozen states are currently considering legislation to allow responsible citizens to carry guns on campus, and it's time Oregon's universities get into compliance with state law, and it's time we give our campus safety officers the training and equipment they need to protect and serve.
Are there further remonstrances? Adjournment. Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House adjourn until 10:15 a.m. Monday, April 20th, 2009.
Representative Jensen moves that the House adjourn until 10:15 a.m. on Monday, April 20th, 2009. Without objection, the House adjourns.